Pickaxe.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
So klingt frische Musik. Und so klingt frische bei Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche rote Tafeläpfel aus Deutschland. 2 Kilo für nur 1,79 Euro. Oder Mini-Roma-Rispentomaten. 300 Gramm für nur 1,11 Euro. Entdecke viele weitere Angebote zum Aldi-Preis. Und weiter geht's mit frischer Musik für jeden Geschmack. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a mailbag.
Mailbag.
He's so excited about this.
Mailbag.
Ooh, now you say it like that.
It's an aggressive one today.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're talking about the testicles.
Yes, my mailbag.
Yeah.
You sounded like an old college professor when you put it that way. Sounds like somebody might be talking about the testicles.
The scrotum and the testes all together. So let me do a couple of catch-up emails, and then we'll get on to the main subject of this week's mailbag. And I mean 80% of the emails I had were about terrible train journeys. And just hearing these is kind of, it's a bit like watching some kind of terrible documentary where you can't look away, but you want to know more, you know? It's like this awful...
Wow.
Sort of stories coming out where you think, oh
so
my
it's
God,
not
that could be me.
Just standing outside the train toilets for 3 hours.
No, it's just like, really, you can just put yourself in these people's shoes. Anyway.
Okay, I'm hyped.
So, first of all, this is from Sean. Just a note about the story Lewis brought up about the vending machines with cameras. See attached photo of the error message which tipped people off. I'll show you guys this picture in a sec. They weren't being used just for security. They were using AI to build a profile of their customers.
Right.
People were upset that none of this was disclosed anywhere on the machine or by the university. We all know how terrible companies are at securing biometric and personal data. The facial recognition camera and video display signage on the front of the vending machine can collect data about the customer's age and gender. Once it's been sent to the control unit, they combine it with other information and try and trigger targeted promotions to stimulate add-on sales. And the way they saw it was on the sort of screen, there's an error popped up that says, the exception, unknown software exception, blah, blah, blah. But the app is called invendor.vending.facialrecognitionapp, EXE. So that was the giveaway. Yeah.
That's the only reason they found out was because of that stupid...
Stupid
error
message.
You know when you go to like some other places and you see... I don't know, it's supposed to show some sort of immersive 3D experience, but there's like monitors on every wall, right? But one of them is like broken. It's got like the Windows error. And it's like the Windows desktop background. And you're like, okay, I guess we know how this works.
Yeah, shame. Yeah, I thought that was...
That's so interesting.
So yeah, it wasn't just a security thing and like CCTV, but it's actually... Because CCTV, you know, obviously we live in the UK. And I mean, I live in London, which is the most surveilled city in the world.
Oh man, that's crazy.
So, and now everybody's got Ring doorbells and everything, but equally it's just pictures of like, you know, streets and stuff like that and maybe cash points, but it's not trying to harvest who I am and sell shit to me, which feels somehow worse. I can't quite put my finger on it why, but
I don't know. Yeah, this is the other thing. We talked a lot on this podcast about being old and getting old, and one of the things that has happened, one of the things that does happen when you get old is you get scared of all the new shit coming along. And you're like, oh, this isn't like how it was, you know. And one of the things that I'm obviously scared of is AI, and how you could see how quickly it's like the AI art thing was a big deal, but now I'm seeing like AI movies. I saw this clip this week of this lady who was doing like talking to camera or whatever, and they just like dubbed over her, but the AI could change her lips and the way her face moved, and,
right?
Like, her whole everything about like it too. And so you could imagine how AI could just, first of all, just replace actors with a fake version, but then second of all, just make that into any language, like put any words in anyone's mouth. It's so kind of frightening, the technology, the way it's going, right?
Yeah.
And it is kind of weird. Like, It's not necessarily, the fear isn't the robots taking over, right? It's not like I'm worried about them becoming sentient, although that is a thing that I guess might happen. I mean, it's not
why are you saying it like that? like out of the side of your mouth. Like they're listening.
You never know.
Oh, they it's probably are listening.
When you move into the future, the fears, the reality is different to the sci-fi ideas that you think, you know, you're hoping it's going to be this thing and it's actually this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think disinformation and that is the big frightening thing, right? The idea of
Also, I mean, I think the main thing is we don't know what these fucking companies are doing. They're not going to tell you. That's the thing.
No,
it's like they're just harvesting all this shit and saving it. What for? What are they up to?
Maybe it's completely innocent. Maybe that vending machine, when you come up to it, it goes, "Hi, Lewis, would you like another Twix? You've eaten 16 Twixes this week. That's too many for you.
Thanks,
you should have
a
salad.
You should have Maltesers instead." Yeah. All right. This is from Johnny. This is called Flies on a Plane. The story of maggots falling from the cabin storage on a flight in episode 280 of the podcast reminded me of a story from my PhD. I was studying biomechanics of how flies control their wings. And to do that, I needed to use a very fancy CT machine, I don't know what that is, to scan their muscles while they were flying. Unfortunately, living in the UK, the most local facility was Switzerland. So I had to take a flight to Zurich with some live flies in my luggage. I guess they don't have flies in Switzerland.
Ooh.
That's why it's so nice there. I spent days researching regulations because I was sure there'd be some law about traveling with live insects on a plane. But all I found was a restriction on traveling with mosquitoes or endangered species. As my flies were just blowflies, there was apparently nothing I needed to do. I couldn't pack them in the hold as I was worried the low temperatures might kill them. So I packed my cage of flies into a cabin bag, which I would store in the overhead lockers on my flight. When I got to the airport, I was absolutely bricking it. Despite running through the scenario in my head hundreds of times, I had no idea how I would explain to airport security why I had a bunch of flies with me. Arriving at security, my supervisor, who I was traveling with, gave me a nod that said, "Oh, good luck then." And as I put my fly-filled luggage onto the conveyor belt to the X-ray machine, after stepping through the security checks myself, I was ready to see my bag in the queue of suspicious luggage waiting for inspection. But to my utter disbelief, it came rolling down the conveyor belt, ready for me to collect, no questions asked.
Jesus Christ.
My supervisor, on the other hand, got held up, questioned about the mega expensive high-speed camera he was traveling with. So I swanned off without him to grab some breakfast. Interesting. I don't think there's any real concern about traveling with a bag of flies, other than if they got loose, people might reasonably say, thanks for bringing a bunch of fucking flies on the flight. But, you know, they're not dangerous.
Well,
are they?
I think
they're annoying,
you know,
though.
If I was the guy working that shift or that time and I saw a big bag of flies come through, I'd be like, no, just go away. You're good, mate, thanks, you know. Oh, this guy's got a cool camera, let's have a look at that, you know. I mean, like,
you'd have,
you know,
a problem. You're the guy, you're the bad guy, you have a problem with flies on a plane.
Yeah.
What if a fly, what about when I get the tube quite often in London and there's often pigeons on it? You got a problem with that?
On it, riding it.
Yeah.
I'm
I don't mind a pigeon being on the
tube.
I'm
honestly surprised, having seen like those Australian border police shows, like they don't let through, like, you know, someone's sandwich, let alone a fucking bag of forks of flies.
The reason I've stopped you here, okay, is that you've got a sandwich in your bag and we can't have sandwiches.
It's exactly like that.
And they're always like, it is just sandwich. I just, I get hungry. I don't know if I have sandwich in Australia. We've got sandwiches here in Australia. They're very good. I'm going to have to destroy your sandwich. Please, it's family heirloom sandwich. When they opened up the sandwich, it was stuffed with cocaine. I don't know about cocaine sandwich. I don't know. It's always that.
Oh, man.
Fuck me. Right. That is exactly that show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like 20 seasons of that show.
It is fully that show.
That's why I love it.
Yeah.
It's comfort telly. You just bosh it on. You know what you're going to get. Exactly what you're going to get. All right. So this is... from Aaron. I'll make it short and to the point. I work at a thrift shop and I also live in Newfoundland, Canada. While taking items to the floor, I did a double take today and immediately thought of Bodega. I'm going to copy paste this for you lads.
Okay.
One sec.
So someone ripped off Bodega?
No.
Gosh, how could they?
They saw a t-shirt that says "Wannabe Dildonian."
Whoa!
Let it be known, it has nothing to do with Bodega, as we have a small community with the funny name Dildo. So there is a place called Dildo in Newfoundland and Labrador, and they refer to themselves as Dildonians. So there you go.
Nice.
Thank you, Aaron. Good spot.
Embrace very good that. Spot, yeah.
Embrace the dildo way.
That is good.
All right, do we want to move on to the cavalcade, the veritable cornucopia of bad train stories?
Sure.
Yes.
So, train stories. I want you guys to rate these from 0, which is, that doesn't sound so bad, up to 10. That sounds like a fucking nightmare. And people can, I don't know, someone out there can rate these. Or put them into some kind of table. This is from, I'm going to struggle to pronounce this, but I think it's Ev. Could be EV. This is, their name is Ev. I'm writing as I was listening to your rant about trains. They're writing this email whilst on the train. It's packed like sardines to the point where there is almost no room for maneuverability. My hot take is this. If you're on a train that's packed to the gills, forget about trying to go to the toilet. This especially applies to the middle-aged man who just tried to barrel his way through the standing passengers to get there on his journey 5 minutes ago. Either hold it like everyone else or get off at the next station. So Ev was on a train and this guy's barging through them to use the toilet. Right. The thing is, the modern toilets on these trains don't have a mechanical locking door. It's like an electronic lock. You push a button to lock the door. Oh. And a lot of the time it doesn't fucking work. And I've definitely been on trains where the door is open and someone's been sat on it and has been trying to hit the button to close the door again. So
yes,
don't use happened, the loo.
This has happened routinely to me and my friends as well. I sympathize with that poor man. Sometimes you can't hold it. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes people might have health issues, yeah, or they might like be...
It's that busy. I mean, come on.
They might have eaten the curry the night before that's just really, really key to not be in them anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Well, how about this one?
You're taking an explosive shit on the train?
Full of people.
Better than an explosive shit in your pants.
I've lived for 43 years on this planet, and I feel like I've done like an okay job. And I gotta say, I don't think I've ever taken an explosive shit on a train, on a plane, or in an automobile before.
I don't think I've ever pooped on a plane, even on long journeys. Your
gut biome.
Yeah,
I've never pooped on a plane once, and I've been on many long haul flights.
Well, in that case, I hold it in. You're a lucky man.
I don't want to shit on there.
You're a superhuman.
Yeah, I think they put something in the air. They pipe in some kind of anti poop stuff. Like
I think it's the cabin
something.
Pressure or something. It gets you all backed up because I can't fart either on the plane.
Oh, I fart a fair old amount.
I've got tons of stored up farts when I land.
Well, I mean, God, I think by the amount of passengers I've sat next to, quite happily to fart. My God,
I feel like you can't even smell that much of a chuff on the plane.
Not really, no. Every once in a while you get a waft, but then you just sort of assume it's come from the bathrooms.
Is that why it's the same thing with the food. That's why it's so salty, right? Because everything tastes different on a plane.
Also, everything on the plane tastes like shit.
Yes, right. That is it, yeah. All right,
this is from T. I was listening to this week's podcast about train nightmares. I live in Edinburgh, and last October I had an event to attend in London. Train ticket to London Euston was upwards of £120 with a rail card, so I decided to fly with Ryanair for £22. I still do that regularly, as it's still cheaper than the normal about £50 for a train ticket. It is mad that it costs so much to use these trains. I don't understand why it costs so much more to get the train than it does to get a fucking plane. It doesn't make any sense. Surely a plane is much more expensive to run. All that fuel and shit like that. Come on.
Oh, yeah. It's so much worse for the planet as well.
Yeah.
Like comparatively, getting a short haul plane is not a good thing. I mean, even long plane obviously is very expensive as well. But otherwise, you're getting a boat. I mean, God, and that's not great. That's got a different kind of problem.
Yeah.
I think. The government needs to. The government needs to step in and subsidise the railways.
They already subsidise them.
Mm.
They give billions to the trains every year. That's this ridiculous idea that it would cost the government too much money. We already fucking give them money.
I'm not even kidding.
It's ridiculous.
We love our trains.
Oh, really? Listen on, young Lulu. Listen on. I worked in London for a while, and this is easily the worst experience I ever had on a train. I was travelling home from a day at work. It was the hottest day of the year from summer 2022, and the temperature in London hit 40 degrees that day.
The tube is hot down there anyway.
Right. Well, this is travelling home from Waterloo East, so I'm trying to think which line that is. I think that's an overland train. I could be wrong. Apologies, Joe, if I am wrong. Most of the trains have been cancelled due to fires on the railway from the heat. I remember this. After waiting for what felt like forever, a train arrived. They had cut the amount of carriages it had from 10 to 4, but it still had the same amount of people trying to leave London at rush hour. I managed to get a seat, but when I sat down, I felt the hot air blowing from the grates on the floor as the heating was on. People were pleading with staff at different stops to try and get the heating off. The train must have been about 50 degrees. I was dripping with sweat just sitting there, and there was definitely far too many people on that train. When I get off, it felt like I had heat stroke, and it was absolutely horrible. Indeed, Joe, I've heard this before. They leave the heating on, they can't turn it off for whatever reason. So it's like you're on a boiling hot train. There's no windows to open. Everybody's sweating. The train is packed. Heat pumping out. It's the worst feeling. It's so, and everyone is fucking miserable. It's terrible.
Isn't it so funny, the idea that this is like a mass transit system? It's the same thing in India. You know, Will, the train still, like, it's, they don't recommend you as a tourist go anywhere near the trains because they are like a death trap. You know, like multiple people die every day on the Indian railways, you know, like just being pushed on the rails or crushed to death in the carriages. It's crazy.
You want to talk about the Indian Railway, Lewis?
Is that an email?
I have an email from Connor here. If you think the British railway system is bad, the Indian rail service will make them look like the Japanese in comparison. I am half Irish, half Bengali, and when I was 11, my father took me to India to visit my family. We were supposed to be going on a 10-hour train ride, which is already bad enough as it is, regardless of the aggregating factors. We arrived at the station an hour early, and we waited for 2 hours before asking the station workers where the train was, only to be told it would be another hour. This cycle repeated for about 10 hours without a train in sight, at which point we decided to try and get a hotel, but all the local spots were booked. In total, we spent 25 hours waiting on the platform. As an aside, I'm sure you've seen the pictures of Indian trains being overfilled with people hanging off the side and sitting on top. Once actually on the train, one thing that stood out was local guys selling tea, coffee, and boiled eggs walking up and down the train in a constant chant of cha coffee, coffee cha, boiled undar for hours. It being India, with their extreme heat and colourful take on food hygiene, these eggs were probably not the best thing for you. I had 6 on this journey and proceeded to become very sick. All in all, very happy to live in a smaller place where I can drive or cycle anywhere I need
to. Jesus Christ, man. That's just like playing Russian roulette.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, I have 6 boiled eggs.
No thanks.
I do love a boiled egg, but maybe you just buy them off some
walking lap up and down.
A red hot train that's already 10 hours late. Where do you cook these eggs? At home.
Yeah.
He's cooked up a bunch of eggs.
I think they're just cooking
in
your hand.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's that hot.
It's just holding
next
an egg in your hand and hold on to it.
Yeah, Jesus. Here we go. My most recent train ride from hell. Train back from Sheffield to Leeds. 10 minutes after the train had set off, we stopped. After sitting for 20 minutes, the driver said the intersection we needed to cross was blocked by a freight train that had broken down. After another 30 minutes, he told us we couldn't even reverse back to Sheffield because there was another train behind us. We sat for 3 hours in total before reversing back to Sheffield, and because the freight train was still stuck on the tracks, no other trains could run to Leeds. Had to get a bus home, took ages. To make it even worse, I only got a £4 refund on a £27 ticket. Chloe, that's a shocking story. It's the state of these fucking railways.
Is this old men yell at trains?
These are young folks emailing in. These are their actual stories. This has nothing to do with us yelling at trains. This is just people. Listen to this one from Connor. He thinks they've had the worst experience on a train short of a major incident such as derailment. It's around Christmas, catching a train from King's Cross to Darlington to visit family. Typically around that time of year, the trains are slammed with people. Even if you had a seat reservation, you'd be lucky to be able to get to your seat. So I'm stood in between the carriage, crammed in with a bunch of other people, and there's people queued down the entire length of the train carriage. About 20 minutes into the journey, we all notice water running under the door of the toilet nearby. This steadily increases over time until a small puddle of piss water has accumulated in our standing area.
Aww.
At this point, none of the train staff were aware, so we used the intercom to make them aware. No one came. The water continues to rise, particularly on one side of the standing area we were in due to the motion of the train. I'm miserable. It's miserable. I'm not sure if all the crap floating around originated from the overflowing toilet or if all the mangy floors. At one point, the train suddenly breaks and a swell of water like a wave runs down the carriage, spreading the joy to all our fellow passengers.
Aww.
We dealt with this for 2 hours before we reached our destination. I filed for a refund of my ticket since the train was late, but also chucked on an extra 60 quid to replace my shoes, which they approved once I attached a video of the situation to my claim. A literal shitty train experience? Indeed, Connor. That's awful.
That's awful.
That is a real bad one. Oh, my God.
That is so bad.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
What a bad one.
I know.
Well,
It gets worse.
The thing is, like, if you have a fine experience, it doesn't get reported, right?
How can it get worse?
I'm not defending trains, but I think trains are the most carbon efficient way to travel.
Hey,
certainly.
Listen, I am absolutely with you there. I love traveling by train. I think most people enjoy traveling by train. It's very, you don't have to do all the passport control shit unless you're taking the Eurostar. You can relax. You know, it's incredibly safe. If you need to, you can get off at a stop earlier or whatever. You can use your phone. You can use the internet. It's great. It's very peaceful. You see the countryside going past. I love being on a train. I really do. But they need to sort their fucking shit out because it's just awful. If I want to get down to Bournemouth at the moment by train, it stops at Winchester, Basingstoke, sorry. Then you have to get a bus to Winchester and then continue from there. And this is just one train line. Imagine that multiplied by every train line, every network. It's fucking shit.
I think this is the nature of capitalism and for-profit services, right? Like, they just push it and push it and push it until it breaks, right? Like dollar stores, right? I watched a John Oliver thing about dollar stores, and obviously they're a terrible problem because of various things. But he was sort of focusing on how they've kind of just cut costs so much that they have, like, sometimes an entire store is just one person. That's it.
Really?
And they have to do the stacking. They have to do, like, the service. They have to open up and close up. And obviously what happens is these little communities where it's just one person, they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to get in trouble. So they rope family and friends in. Customers start ending up helping and, like,
Jesus,
you know, stacking shelves for them. You know, it's kind of like, it's just so exploitative, right? This is capitalism in a nutshell, right? Like, they're making billions of dollars of profits, but they just push and push and push.
Yeah.
Lower and lower and lower the amount of quality. And, like, I'm sure those trains just don't have the staff, right? Because
yeah,
it's the central problem. It always is. And this is an email for another day. I'd like someone to email in about this. This is something I don't understand why it has to be this way. So go ahead and let me know, because I genuinely don't know.
Like, I doubt that the trains are losing so much money that these cuts have to be record profits.
This is how all
this shit works. Like, anything that you see that's a really shitty experience, that company is making record profits.
They're private investable companies.
It's not
companies,
the other way
so
around.
Of course they are. That's they have to be. And the minute they're not, they're gone. So then you lose the service.
That's my question, right? Is that these companies are making record profits, but the problem is every year the goal is to increase your profits.
Yes.
And given that there is, you can, like, if you're running a train network, you can't run more trains or have more lines. You just have to run that network. But the objective is not, well, we're making money and it's fine. The objective is we have to make more money this year than we did last year. How can we do that? If we can't add more trains because the service is already jammed, we can't add more railway lines because that's too expensive, how can we do it? We can cut costs. And that means that every single year, the service gets cut and cut and cut and cut, and the prices go up and up and up and up. So year on year, and this is true for pretty much every single company, as they get older, the costs go down, the price comes up. So you end up with this gap forming between what you're getting and how much you're paying for it. So you're paying much more for much less. And you see it in everything from chocolate bars to trains. Everything's getting smaller and smaller, and the ingredients are getting cheaper and cheaper. They're sourcing them from cheaper and cheaper and cheaper places, and the price is going up and up and up and up. What is the end game there?
This is how our society's been built over the last 200 years, though. That all of that stuff you said has been going on forever. It's not a new thing. Like, it's not suddenly happening. This is how everything has worked since ever.
I disagree. And I'll give you an example. A lot of stuff that people used to buy, the competition was, we're going to make the best X. And it was smaller companies, a lot of the time competing locally with other local businesses. Now, it's vast international corporations who are just trying to, I mean, look at the streaming services, for an example. Streaming services are not making money. Like Netflix and all this shit, they're all fucking losing money. All of these big things. You can't tell me that Apple spending billions on all these TV shows is somehow making money. They're all just trying to run each other out of business. And once there's only one or two left, guess what's going to happen? Quality is going to go down. Price is going to come up massively. Well, and that's the scenario.
And probably the next big thing will come along too, right? Like, it'll be replaced by something before all that happens. So it's always these cycles and these games that, like, the big boys play against each other and stuff, right? Like, it's...
I just want to know, why is it so vital that the profits go up year on year? If you're making money as a business, what's wrong with making the same amount of money the next year?
It's all automated, though. It's all supply and demand, right? Like the problem is that the people who make these decisions don't care. It's like, I'm a university and I'm investing my money. Like, I want to have it where it's going to make the most. And so therefore I'm going to invest in the thing that has made the most previously. And those things are things which work in this immoral way. And they work in this kind of uncaring way. Like, the reason that dollar stores are so horrible is not because there's someone in charge saying, let's be horrible. It's because they've just found that that's the natural progression and natural evolution to make the most money. Like, and it's worked and they don't realize that they're exploiting it. And I'm sure, you know, if any reasonable person found out or does know, they feel bad about it.
Of course they know.
But there's kind of no one in charge, right? This is why so many psychopaths end up leading companies, Fortune 5000 companies, because they're the people who can make these immoral decisions, right? They don't care. You know, it's like, what's going to make us the most money? I'll dump it all in the river, or, you know, or make, you know, who cares? Like, they rise to the top because they don't have any qualms about kind of
There's no decency.
Well, exactly.
I genuinely don't think it was always that way. I really don't. And well, I think if you look at the history of a lot of businesses and how they started, I think a lot of those people had more of a mission.
A boom and bust cycle.
To make things better than we do now.
It only goes so far. The greed only takes you so far, and then, you know, it all falls apart. That's the other thing, is capitalism is overreaching greed to the point where it destroys itself over and over again.
Well, I look forward to that day. I want to see what happens afterwards, just as an experiment, you know. This is called the T-Cart Blockade. This is a very long email, but I'll sum it up for you.
Okay.
Ben is on a train. I'm gonna lay it out to you until we get to the end.
I like to imagine that we're in a train yard right now, and that beeping that you can hear.
Yeah,
is
that's
train
a train
noise.
Reversing.
This is added background train noises.
It's more immersion for the story that you're about.
Ben is on a train. Okay, we could even add some train background noises onto this episode.
What additional? Yeah. We can get some more builders in. Right? Yeah. to do Sips's house and mine.
Exactly.
Nice.
That's three overlapping, like, fucking beepings.
So, yeah. It's a grueling 14-hour day, all right? End of a grueling 14-hour day. Last train home, mentally preparing themselves for the 40-minute walk home from the train station. No buses, no money for a cab or an Uber. Just wants to get home. It's already a 40-minute walk from their station.
40-minute walk! Jesus Christ.
So, they're getting there, taking out the headphones. They can hear the announcement. This will soon be stopping at Newport. For those of you in the back two carriages, the doors will not be opening at the next stop. Being on one of the back two carriages, Ben puts his work bag on, goes to the right, starts to make his way down towards the carriages that are going to open. There's an attendant there with the little food cart, and Ben asks, can I get past? The attendant says, no. He says, I need to get past you, otherwise the train, you know, it's the doors aren't going to open. And the guy's like, no, you'll be fine. These doors are going to open any second. I reminded him of the announcement. I said I needed to get off the train. Due to exhaustion, I'm not sure if I was pleading or fuming. He continued to insist the doors would open right up to the point that the train pulled away from the station. I don't think I have ever given anyone a mean look in my life, but this man did not say a word. He quickly moved the cart out of my way and allowed me to pass. I'm not sure I ever want to know the look on my face at that point, but it must have not been a kind one. My next stop was Bristol Temple Meads, another half hour. The rest of my journey, I saw the cart attendant a few more times, and he could not even look at me. Fortunately enough, I had a friend in Bristol who allowed me to stay at theirs for the night, finally reaching the warm embrace of a bed at 2 a.m., unfortunately down £15 for my ticket home the following morning.
Oh,
I recently passed
man.
My driving test, so will no longer have to deal with public transport as often, fortunately. Apologies.
I would have just pulled the emergency cord. I would have pulled that. So that's an emergency cord pulled for me right there.
Yeah, because otherwise a murder's going to fucking happen on this train. Is that
There's
the
an
issue?
Emergency. This is an emergency.
Honestly, if you can see people getting off the train, your door's not open, and this guy won't move the cart, I'm climbing over the cart.
I'm literally climbing over the cart,
or I'm pushing it out of the way. People need to. We're very nice. British people are generally very nice. We're very polite. We generally try to avoid confrontation. We're generally a little timid when it comes to things like that. And if someone's in my way and I can see that I'm not going to get off my train and I'm fucked, I'm sorry, but the New Yorker comes out. Get out of my fucking way. Oh, buddy, what are you doing? I'm throwing the car out the window. And
oh,
I'm out.
My God. This is, do you know what this is? This is us. Doing like your guys in the street where they're yelling at a traffic warden.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where you're blowing your top over
exactly.
something. But then again, like, it depends. Like, if it's the last train, you're going to miss your stop, which means you're not going to get home, you know, which, and for some people, that's important. They have a kid or something else that they need to look after, a relative. Like, there's a lot of reasons why someone might need to get back. And everyone in the train's like, well, you just missed your stop, mate. And it's like, well, yeah, but that means that I'm stuck on this train for like fucking half an hour in the wrong direction with no way back.
Essentially kidnapped by whichever train network that is. I think people should start suing these people for kidnapping. I'm on a train. I want to get off. You won't let me off. Kidnapping. Call the police. Hello, police. I've been kidnapped by Southwest Rail. They won't let me off their train. They'd be like, what are you talking about?
On the other hand, you can just get a taxi back. But that's expensive.
No, you can't.
Bristol to Newport, it's like 60 quid. You can claim it back, though. But then that guy got his shoes claimed back. Maybe you just...
He had a video of it. How are you going to take a video of a guy being a twat with a fucking food cart? I mean,
you
the problem is, the guys running the food carts, let's be honest, if your job is pushing the little food cart up and down, not the brightest spot, probably just didn't even really know how the train worked and which doors open and which didn't. But because they work on the train, technically, I guess they figure they're train staff. You're not. You're a cart boy. All right, cart boy?
Cart boy.
Fucking cart boy.
All right, this is from Owen.
That was like I'd say that was like an 8 for me. 8 out of 10 nightmare situation.
It makes you angry because it was a human being face to face, which is why the little guards and the train drivers hide behind those locked doors, because otherwise they get fucking
throttled. Human interaction to begin with, let alone, you know, in a stressful situation where I have to sort of bargain. But no, I'm pulling that emergency cord right good as soon as he's not listening to me.
All right,
best stopping that train, and if you can put it at the station, it won't go anywhere.
Hold on, I've got another one.
It's like the bell on the bus, you know.
Yeah,
if you just hold down the bell button when you're walking down the bus, ding ding, if you can't get off the bus, ding 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 ding, ding. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is from Jamie. In regards to your train journey stories, my brother needs to go to Birmingham for work. We live in London. We looked at the price of a ticket. It was somewhere in the region of £140.
Jesus
Christ.
We thought this was ludicrous and decided to find an alternative route. So, a flight from London to Warsaw, Warsaw to Brussels, Brussels to Edinburgh, and Edinburgh to Birmingham for cheaper than the train from London to Birmingham.
Yeah, of course.
The train travel in this country is some of the most expensive in the world and some of the worst quality.
Well, none of it
is
subsidized by the government. So effectively...
It is.
Not a lot of it. Like I mean, there's like little bits and pieces of it, but it's mostly privatized. And the problem is now is that because it's privatized and it's publicly traded, it's been invested into heavily by foreign countries. So basically, every time you pay top dollar to travel on an English train, you're making it really nice for a Dutch person to travel on nice subsidized public transport, or
the
a French
like
person
days,
to take nice subsidized train transport.
Well, that's good though for everyone.
It's good for the French and for the Germans but the English get screwed over as usual.
All right, hold on. The subsidy that we are paying to the train networks is £11 billion. All right, we give £11 billion of taxpayer money to these railway companies. So it is fucking subsidized to the tune of 11 billion quid.
It's subsidized.
And those companies still make a profit.
Yeah, because...
So we are giving money to private companies.
Sorry,
why?
When I say subsidized, the companies themselves get subsidies, but they're not passed on to the customers. In other countries where it's still government-owned or part government-owned or whatever, those subsidies are passed on to the customers. So it's much cheaper to travel by... public transport, but not in this country. In this country, it's the complete opposite.
All of this depends on a lot of factors, right? And it mostly depends on these new systems. Like, for example, like Malaysia Airlines, right? They had two real bad accidents, right? The one which went missing, and then the one which got shot down over Ukraine. They were like fined for like 50 years, and obviously they've been fined since. And they had this terrible thing. And they normally what would happen in that case is the company would go bankrupt, or it would be shut down, or it'd be rebranded, or it'd be nationalized. And that's what happened. Malaysia took over. I think they already owned like 70% of it, but they now own all of it or whatever, and sort of rebooted it, right? And one of the things that Malaysia Airlines have is they have like the only flight from Europe to Kuala Lumpur, right? It's like London to Kuala Lumpur, like direct. And that is something which they have a monopoly on, right? And so they can kind of charge whatever they want. And as a result, you know, and also certainly for customers who aren't what they call price sensitive, a lot of people aren't price sensitive, they will pay whatever. This is sometimes why tickets on trains and other things are so expensive, because at certain times and certain days, they can charge ludicrous prices and people will pay them.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're paying, you know, if you're... some of the factors are like busyness. If it's really, really busy, these guys have embraced technology to understand that, yes, we will charge, we're on a busy day, so people don't have such a bad experience. Like, and it sucks, you know, if you pay a lot to go on a day and it's shitty and busy, you're like, God, I've paid loads and it's busy. Sometimes those two things are linked, right?
Mm.
Like, it's not always like just gouging and being scummy. Like, I think it is a lot of that, but it is also like the modern world we live in, you know? Like, if you book in advance, if you try it a different time or a different day, sometimes, you know, if you want to go on holiday at half term, the flights are double, at least, right? They just are, because loads more people want to go and they know they can charge it. That's just how it works. I'm kind of lucky that I don't have a family where I can't go on holiday any other time, because I save, it's half price holidays. Do you know what I mean? It literally is.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
No, we're not going to move on.
No, this is all about trains.
This is a train special.
All the emails are about trains.
I feel like I'm fucking stuck on a train now.
Okay,
and the Wi-Fi's not working and there's pissy liquid under my feet.
It's pooling up.
Exactly.
You're getting a bit of a waft coming from the bathroom area.
So this is from Alex. Regarding your discussion on trains, train companies do something called P-coding, where they cancel trains before the day of service to make their cancellation scores appear better. So it would not surprise me if they are also pulling other shenanigans to manipulate stats.
P-coding.
There is an article on the .gov.uk, the Office of Rail and Road. Here, I will copy this into the Discord. Here you go. This is the Office of Rail and Road, P-coded cancellations, which is periodic four-weekly statistics on resources available, blah, blah, blah. Operators have been providing OR with a number of resources available shortage P-coded pre-cancellations.
What does this mean?
Well, read it. It means that essentially they're cancelling trains so that their cancellation scores look better.
How does cancelling trains improve their cancellation score?
Because they're cancelling it ahead of time.
Right. So they think something's going to be cancelled, so they cancel it before it gets cancelled?
I guess so, yeah.
And that reduces their cancellation
score? Apparently.
I mean, okay.
Man, trains are nuts, eh?
Yeah.
They just, you know, the problem is they've just been around too long.
They've been allowed to fester. This is people gaming.
They're
the
festering.
System, this is some fucking busybody.
Get rid of them.
Some fucking bald asshole. Not bald necessarily. Old asshole.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I just imagine some jobs worth.
The truth
in a fucking...
comes flying out of it.
I don't think of you as bald, remember? Oh.
He doesn't identify you as a bald man.
Well, that's not your choice.
I don't see you when I'm doing this podcast, and so I feel like you have a full
just
head.
Just keeps putting his foot in it.
Some gammon-faced man.
Mm. Hey!
Whoa!
Come on now!
Who's been promoted and he's saving the company $100,000 a year government subsidies.
They all end up over here to
they all get a jersey.
The Jersey government loves to get these guys over as consultants and pay them millions of pounds because they've got a track record of being useless in the UK already, so why not come over here for a couple of years on a nice little vacation, be fucking useless as well? It's crazy.
Like, they're probably doing some scummy things behind the scenes, and we should crack down on those.
You want to hear
about
scummy
things? You know what's really cool? I don't know if I told you about this, but when I was in when we went to France in October, we were traveling back, and I told you guys that we went on trains and boats and everything. We didn't fly, so we took a train back to Rennes, and we stayed overnight in Rennes because at this point we knew that our boat was canceled, so we didn't make it all the way back to Saint-Malo, which where we would have taken the boat from. So we decided to stop in Rennes and stay in Rennes and then travel back to Saint-Malo to, you know, just to sort of prolong getting to Saint-Malo for when the boat was actually leaving, which is like 2 days later because the weather was so bad. So when we were in Rennes, we used the metro there, and it is completely unmanned. There's not a single member of staff anywhere. Even the trains are like automatic. There's no people in them. They're just like these two, the two, three carriage metro trains and they're self-driving, and there's not a member of staff anywhere to be seen. Like, if you have a ticket problem or whatever, everything is automated. It was kind of crazy, actually, but neat as well. Like, it was pretty clean. Like, you could tell it was like surveyed. There's cameras and stuff everywhere. Occasionally, like, there'd be police men or women walking around, you know, kind of like because they're train stations.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it just seemed to work really well. Like, everybody just knew where to get the tickets from little machines to go through, to beep the ticket through. And you could just walk through without even beeping the ticket. But I think that's what all the cameras are for. Basically, I think they go back after you, you know, retrospectively and say, yeah, you didn't beep in this time, and we have you on camera doing it, and we're going to fine you or whatever. And maybe that's less work than just having a lot of people standing around checking tickets, helping people through those gates and stuff.
So you're saying it's a kind of AI-based person recognition system?
I guess it must be, yeah, because you could just walk through any of these barriers anytime and you don't even need to beep. They're just wide open. If you have your ticket, you have like, basically you have travels loaded onto your ticket. You can buy like 10, 20 at a time or whatever. And then when it runs out, it tells you that you need to get more or whatever. But a couple of times we were kind of stuck, and because we had like, I've got two kids and then a baby in a stroller, we got stuck behind barriers with the stroller and stuff, and then we just had to go through, and you know, I just swiped the card like 20 times just to make sure. And
oh, I see, because there was no one there.
Yeah,
at all.
Exactly. No, there's not a single person there to help you with anything. And if you don't speak any French, you're not going to get any help from anybody else there either.
Exactly.
So it's like, but at the same time, it was lax enough where you could navigate it. You know, you could potentially get in trouble for not paying or whatever, but you know, you never really get stuck. You know, it was almost foolproof. It was pretty impressive, actually. I mean, it's not a huge city, granted, but it's it was neat. I just think it was really good. Like, a little bit different to anything else I'd ever seen. So
there you go. Like a little positive, like little.
And now
see,
back to reality. Let me dive
trains.
In. Yeah. We've got an insider.
Get those humans
now.
Out of those jobs. That's what I
I've
say.
I've got an email from an insider, somebody who works for the train. I work in operations with one of the big UK train companies, not Southeastern. Firstly, your conspiracy theory is absolutely correct.
Oh, no.
Delay and cancellation KPIs tend to lean heavily on start and end destinations. A train is only properly classed as cancelled if it doesn't reach its final destination. I knew it! As a daily commuter, I've suffered from this so many times where my normal 15-minute journey home from Birmingham skips every stop until Kidderminster, which is 40 minutes away.
Oh.
If you're caught with your earphones in or not paying attention, it makes for a very long journey home. The government encourages operators to increase prices annually, even though some are making ridiculous internal profits. Also, it gets a lot of media attention, but I think the level of cancellation and delay on the railway is so much higher than even reported to the public. My company, and at least two others I know, was so bad during December 2023 that they outright defaulted on their contract with the Department for Transport and theoretically should have been taken over by the government. Absolute madness. But
I've
as an employee, you won't hear me complain too much, as they paced off exceptionally well, mostly.
Oh.
And the free/discounted travel for staff is worth nearly as much as the salary.
Jesus.
Whoa.
Well, see, there you go. It pays to actually work for the enemy.
If the very few jobs that remain.
Bring it down from the inside.
Yeah. And if you want to know even more, this is from another railway worker.
Got another whistleblower on the line.
Blow the whistle. That's the whistle they're blowing.
It did sound a little bit Michael Jackson when you did that.
Well, he did the voiceover for all the trains.
The train is coming in.
Mind the gap. In Triforce 280, you asked why trains sometimes skip stops. This will almost always be because the train is running late. Decisions on the railway have to be made for the greater good. And skipping a stop is sometimes better than
if you're on a train and you're getting ready to get off at your stop, they just decide to skip it.
Yeah.
Fuck, that is crazy.
Yeah,
that
they do it.
That is so inconvenient to me. Like,
so the reason
I need
is,
to get off at my stop.
I know, yes, you've paid to get off at that fucking stop. And now they're like, no, sorry, you're stuck. So they like look into a refund, which is delay repay. You can get a refund through that system. But the thing is, I'm still fucked. Like, I still might be fucked.
Yeah.
On my way to a job interview or a flight. And now so you can get the train ticket refunded.
Yeah.
What about the cost?
Yeah,
the
we just decided to skip the Heathrow stop.
Yeah.
Executive decision. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, everybody on the train.
Otherwise, the next train would be late. Because the thing is, then the problem is, if you're late, then you know you're late leaving, and then some other service is late, and it's like it compounds the problem.
Oh, I see. That's why when you're this has happened to me a lot. You know, a train will be late, and then the train after it that was I'm gonna get is then cancelled, right? Because that first train was late. I guess it would have made that train late. It would have made every train late after it.
Yeah.
That must be why there's so many cancellations.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're everything... like, oh shit, the whole system is barely hanging together. And if this one's late, then that service leaving so and so is going to be late, which is going to make that late. So it's like a cascade failure.
That
so
does
you
make
just
sense.
Have to. It makes sense, but here's the problem. The people are paying the cost for their shitty planning and lousy service. So it's all very well said, like the greater good. The greater good is helping to make sure this dog shit train service runs on time so they don't get fucking fined. I don't give a fuck. Let me out!
Yeah.
Let me out!
I did watch another John Oliver thing about freight trains.
Yeah, I saw that.
Complaining about those, which was amazing in America, and how, you know, again, it's just corporate hunger for money.
Yeah, they're fucking awful.
And not, like, maintaining things properly. And also just running, like, so the way they do it now is they run these mega long trains.
Yeah.
They're like miles, multiple miles.
Like in Australia,
long.
They do that. There's Aussie coal trains, right? They're like
yes,
10 miles.
Yes. But they're all automated, I think, and they're not going through like rural areas or, you know, going over crossings, but it's, or even like stopping halfway across a crossing because they're so long, these trains, that when it gets to nighttime and the driver can't work them anymore, they just have to stop them at a siding. But the siding is like, you know, it was built for a small train, not a 3 mile long one.
Yeah.
So they just stay blocking loads of roads. Sometimes it's the only road into like a town.
I've had that. I've been in a town and the train is going and you just got to sit there and people get out of their cars.
Man.
You're getting out and like just chilling. Like there's no point.
Isn't that mad?
Chaps, I'm going to have to dip because I've got a meeting now, but you guys carry on.
Okay, we'll wrap it up, Flax.
Yeah, you wrap it up. I've got to go. Sorry,
okay,
boys.
Okay, no problem.
That's all right.
Keep the emails coming.
Okay. Bye.
Oh my God, it closed the door on us. Wow. Well, that was a bit of an abrupt end. Holy crap. That is, that's our podcast. That's our mailbag. Please don't, I'm filling in for PFLAX here, but please do not email in any further questions about
trains.
No,
I agree. We never want to speak about them again. We've talked about them for well over an hour.
I don't want to be corrected on any of the things I've said today.
No.
We're not going to do a mailbag.
We just don't find them that interesting anymore either. I think we've had our full fill of them at this point.
No, but It's I don't want to start some recursive thing where people send in letters about things that we've talked about on the letters show and
then send in new stuff.
He's back.
No, he's returned.
It's enough train shit. All right.
That's enough.
Okay. Oh, thanks for listening.
Right,
bye.